Just tell me when.
Hold on, the recording actually has started.
Not everybody's in yet.
I imagine it takes a bit for people to come over from the vigil. But there's quite a few already over here, right?
On this. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Hey everyone, we're bringing people over from the vigil. So just take a minute or two before we get started.
Michael, how are we doing? Can you see how many are still left over there?
They're all out.
Okay, go ahead, Francis.
Okay, hello, friends. Welcome to this Aries pre-full moon meditation, which will feature the visionary artwork of Nicholas Roerich. The exact time for the Aries full moon will be tomorrow, April 16th. At 6:55 p.m. GMT, just under 24 hours from now. The Aries full moon and the festival of Easter associated with it is, as we know, the first of the three great annual festivals. DK says, this is the festival of the risen living Christ, the teacher of all men, and the head of the spiritual hierarchy. He is the expression of the love of God. On this day of the spiritual hierarchy, which he guides and directs, will be recognized, and the nature of God's love will be emphasized. The festival is determined always by the date of the first full moon of spring, and is the great Western Christian festival. A comment from externalization of the hierarchy gives us an idea of how potent these festivals are. What is done during this time by the members of the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, who face a major test of their hierarchical power, not a test of their love, what is accomplished by the disciples working in the world at this time, and also by the new group of world servers, can and will determine the destiny of man for centuries to come. That was in 45 when he made this statement. Okay, let's take a brief look at the astrological chart of the full moon. Like last month, the full moon itself is what's called a singleton, being the only planet in its hemisphere. Last month's most significant attribute, the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, is even more potent this month. I think it reached its full conjunction about 4 days ago. Remarkably close. Jupiter and Neptune are now within 1 degree of each other. So there's a great potency there, ongoing potency. Because these outer planet conjunctions last so much longer than their interplanetary counterparts, they often significantly condition happenings on our planet, even to the point of creating a mass awakening, especially when you're looking at these two. We've seen the effect of this conjunction in the unprecedented outpouring of love and compassion towards the Ukrainians. For disciples, this conjunction allows for a healing of the astral body and allows for a movement from the sixth to the second ray influence in that body. from a reactionary emotional nature to a responsive one. Okay, another significant aspect is a T-square, which involves Pluto squaring both Sun and Moon in opposition. This is all about power, especially with the Sun in Aries, which is the main source of first-ray energy for humanity. The Moon squaring Pluto creates enormous emotional intensity, which is already a quality of every full moon. The effect is to shine a light on how power is being used in the world, as well as in our own lives. We all know that Pluto drags to the surface that which must be transformed. This is particularly true when Pluto is in the last degrees of Capricorn. I believe it's going to go station, it's going to station, is that what they call it, BL? When it stays on one degree for some time at the 29th degree. Isn't that right?
I didn't check that out, but that's what it's called when it stays there, station.
Yeah. Well, I heard that it's going to be in that position, which really intensifies its effect, and especially in these last degrees of Capricorn. So the T-square influence, of course, by that time, this particular T-square will be long gone, but the influence of Pluto will be with us for some time. So, the T-square is a signature for conflict, but the energy of the Neptune-Jupiter conjunction gives us the means for resolution of this conflict, and even a transformation of the underlying causes. It's worth noting that Pluto fully moves into Aquarius in 2024, which will shift the emphasis from the authoritarian power that finds its expression through Capricorn to the power of group work fostered in Aquarius. I can't help but think that this Pluto transition through these two signs plays a major purificatory role in these years of the forerunner. The hard aspects of the T-square are somewhat mitigated by a number of other aspects. First, a trine between Pluto and the North Node in Taurus, which can be interpreted as empowering our future collective destiny. This aspect is strengthened by the fact that Uranus is close by in Taurus, giving us a vision of a new Earth, and perhaps more importantly, by the two sextiles emanating from the Uranus-Jupiter conjunction, one to Pluto, temporizing the T-square, and the other to the North Node. There's probably a name for this. Particular aspect. If there is, I don't know it. BL, you're the name expert. Is there a particular name for this when you have a bisected trine with two sextiles?
You mean like a kite? I'm not sure.
Is it like a kite?
Yeah, except there's no, you would have to have something at 24 Virgo to make the kite. So,
So you have this bisected trine and two sextiles, which makes the whole configuration more powerful. We also have the Libra in the sign of, we have the Moon in Libra, which is the sign of balance and equanimity, which also helps offset that square with Pluto, that potency of that destructive aspect. And what else? We have a conjunction between Uranus and Mercury, which is very cool. Uranus and Mercury are the hierarchical and esoteric rulers of Aries, which is, of course, the sign of this moon, the fact that this conjunction happens in Taurus makes available not only brilliant intuitive insights, but also practical and grounded solutions. So we have two opposing energies going on, the hard Pluto-Sun-Moon T-square, revealing recalcitrant Piscean authoritarianism, and those aspects that reveal the many energies at our disposal to both lift and transform this entrenched energy pattern. Okay, let's take a quick look at the constellation of Aries, which, as we all know, marks the beginning of the astrological new year. In the labors of Hercules, we learned that Aries is a sign of outgoing power, of the streaming forth of divine energy from the central deity, God, or from the human being, a son of God. This energy streams forth in two directions. Thus, the point becomes the line, the one becomes the first. It streams forth into the world of forms and also into the world of being or of spirit. One stream of energy expresses the path of return, of inward going, and the two together constitute the two arcs of the great cycle of existence. At the other end of the spectrum, we have Jofre's painting, which depicts the traditional Martian rulership of this sign. Emulating the charging ram in the foreground, a red-caped warrior dashes forth, sword in hand, against a backdrop of erupting volcanoes. That's about as Martian as you can get. While a blindfolded woman searches for the light. Again, we're met with a challenge to choose our path forward, following either Aries' exoteric keywords, let form again be sought, or the higher qualities of Aries, which are connected with the will aspect and ultimately with monadic identification. For it is the monad that is the I that comes forth, and from within the jewel in the heart of the egoic lotus, rules from the plane of mind. These keywords also address the mental polarity necessary for discipleship, symbolized by Mercury in its role as esoteric ruler of Aries, and the fact that even in traditional astrology, Aries rules the head, which makes Aries the preeminent channel for first tree energy into humanity, resulting in purification by fire and destruction of that which is no longer of use. This first ray influence is found in two additional descriptors for Aries: directed personality effort and recognition and work with the divine plan. As hierarchical ruler of Aries, Uranus, like the Earth, has a first ray monad and thus demonstrates both the first and seventh rays. Though passage into the physical realm comes through Cancer, it was in Aries that the originating idea of each human being's first incarnation was sent forth, as depicted in this image. Eons later, it is again through Aries that the second great impulse is sent forth, this time opening the way onto the path of return, for it is through the lesser fire of mind that the, quote, jungles of experience are set on fire and dissolve in flames. So Aries is a sign of new beginnings, and its energy can help us make a new beginning. So what will we choose to reorganize, regenerate, and ultimately repolarize ourselves towards. Whatever it is, Aries energy offers that opportunity. Okay, a brief look at the labors of Heracles, the Aries labor. Heracles' first labor is to capture the man-eating broodmares of Diomedes. The offspring of these mares symbolize wrong thought, wrong speech, and erroneous ideas. Illusion, glamour, and maya. So it's imperative that, but with an emphasis on the illusion. So it's imperative that before any other labor can even be attempted, Hercules and disciples, the disciples that he represents, must learn to control and still the mind. A key element in this labor is that after rounding up the mares, Hercules, who represents the soul, leaves Abderus, who represents the personality, to guard the mares, who break loose and kill him. You can see this detail off to the right here. As in the Scorpio labor, which is also exoterically ruled by Mars, the disciple must turn to the soul in order to control the lower mind. Okay, let's turn our attention to our meditation. Keep in mind that every full moon meditation helps to build our causal body into a more fit vehicle. DK emphasizes the importance of meditating at the exact time of the full moon. The fact that we are less than 24 hours from the full moon puts us in the day of safeguarding, of receiving and holding. So you can get comfortable, spines erect, start using your breath to still and calm your physical body, and turning to the astral, calm any emotions that might be kicking up there. And then let us, as members of this group, withdraw our consciousness from our personality vehicles and begin to enter into the presence of the soul. As you deepen your contact, feel yourself established as a soul within a field of light, of love, and of spiritual power. Now let us merge ourselves as individual souls into a deep sense of the group soul. As our unity strengthens, extend this sense of inclusivity outward to include all the spiritually minded people of the world, as well as all the men and women of goodwill. Again, extending this sense of inclusivity, visualize our group soul merging into the one soul of humanity. Through this inclusive act comes the realization that there is no my soul and thy soul. And it is from this unified field of consciousness that we can truly say, not is but me. Now, from this high point of tension, let us together visualize a potent point of awareness in the mental unit, demonstrating as the color of your soul red. This field, this point of tension, will form the foundation of our individual and collective antikaranas. If you don't know your soul or personality rays, use the color indigo. So let us visualize our dual colored individual antikaranas connecting the mental unit with the monastic permanent atom. As we project this rainbow bridge, our individual antikaranas merge into the group antikarana, which glows with all seven colors, but primarily the deep indigo blue of the second ray, reaching into the realms of the spiritual triad. Inwardly and in continued identification with the group soul, let us affirm the great word of power. I see the greatest light. Our individual antikaranas are now intertwined. And from this point of group tension on the mental plane, let us together imaginatively project a line of vivid, living white light into triadal realm. in the presence of this great light, let us together attempt to feel the presence of the Great White Brotherhood, the Lodge of Masters, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, which is particularly to be considered during this Aries full moon. Now, with heartfelt gratitude, let us offer our salutations to the masters and to the head of the hierarchy, the Christ. Salutations to the Buddha, the Lord of light and wisdom. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all Masters. Salutations to the triangle of Masters with whom we work most closely. Master Moria. Master Kuthumi. Master Dualkul. Salutations to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Now, as a group, let us lift our focus to Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known, and with deepest reverence and in all humility, attuned to the presence of Sanat Kumara, standing at the very center of Shambhala. It is from this point of high spiritual tension that we come to realize that Shambhala is the planetary center through which the energies of the constellations and the planets enter into our world to be distributed to all living beings. Now let us lift our awareness to the three planetary rulers of the constellation of Aries. Mars, the exoteric ruler, conveying fortitude and the will to fight for a high ideal. Mercury, the esoteric ruler, conveying the power to apprehend the archetypal idea and destroy illusion through fiery mental processes. And Uranus, the hierarchical ruler, conveying the electric fire of pure will for the ultimate vivification of the entire human energy system through its linking to the world of being. So we'll start by turning our attention to the sixth ray warrior energy of Mars, which from the disciples' point of view confers spiritual courage and the fiery aspiration needed for fusion with divinity and for the successful manifestation of the divine ideal. So let us, as a group, open our consciousness to this Martian stream of energy. Consider how you and your group, this group, could use this stream, could use fortitude and the will to fight for a high ideal in your service to others. Let us visualize this energy drawing into ourselves and then transmit it outwards through the group to all humanity. Now let us turn our attention to the energy of Mercury, the esoteric ruler of Aries, which acts as a bridge between the archetypal worlds and the world of form. Let us, as a group, invoke the energy of Mercury, planet of transcendental mind and the birthplace of ideas, that we may stimulate our intuition and through it understand the part that we can play in the divine plan. How can you and your group use the energy of intuitive understanding to better serve humanity? Let us draw this energy into ourselves, visualizing intuitive energy flooding into the group aura, and then transmit it outwards to all humanity. Now let us attune to the influence of Uranus, source of the transcendental energy of electric fire and hierarchical ruler of Aries. Let us, as a group, open our field of consciousness to this Uranian stream of energy. Consider how you, your group, this group, could use this Uranian transformative potency in service to others. Now let us draw this energy into the group and transmit it outwards, visualizing its effect on all those we touch. Now let us lift our point of focus to the solar logos, who expresses its great life through all parts of our solar system. Let us come into a feeling awareness of the second ray of love wisdom, that great field of energy which the solar logos continuously pours through all the planets, through Shambhala, and through every monad, soul, and personality on our planet. Now let us lift our focus to the constellation Aries, which radiates the light of life itself, ending forever the darkness of matter. Esoteric astrology tells us that Aries acts as the, quote, searchlight of the logos, seeking that which can be used for divine expression. So, let us together open ourselves to this flame-like energy of Aries, tuning ourselves to its ray of pure deity, first ray of will and power, that we may invoke the forces of restoration, so much needed at this time, in order that the divine plan may be restored on earth. Now let us, as a group, intone the Aryan mantram, followed by a moment of silence. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. Finally, let us together visualize the following energetic downflow, starting in the constellation Aries, flowing down through the solar logos at the heart of the solar system, on through the planets Mars, Mercury, and Uranus, into Shambhala, then on down through our monads into the hierarchy, through the great Lord, the Christ, and into and through the ashram with which you believe yourself to be increasingly associated, on down through the soul of this group, and finally into your spiritualized personality. now, while as a group holding this high point of tension, let us with love and compassion consider the world situation and imagine the ways in which the energies of Aries might flow through us for the upliftment and redemption of humanity and the planet. Consider one problem, one situation in the world, and focus the light and love of the hierarchy into that situation to dispel the illusion. Now, while still holding this high alignment, let us with hands upraised intone the Om three times, and by means of the sacred word, send a group blessing into humanity so that it may rise to its true spiritual potential and thereby fulfill the divine plan. We'll finish with a great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, thank you all. You may wish to join us for the new moon meditation in 2 weeks. And until then, thank you. And good morning, good afternoon, and good night.